It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome into this edition of B. Schaefer Daily Live. Brendan Schaefer with you here. It is the evening hours of Tuesday, May 7th, 2024, and this is a tough one for Cardinals fans as, yeah, the Cardinals lost the game. They lose to the Mets 7-5. They are at the risk of being swept out of Busch Stadium in this three-game set that'll happen, or the final game will happen Wednesday afternoon. We'll see whether or not the sweep is part of that or not. But the big news is not the outcome of the game, even though it does drop the Cardinals to 15-21 on the season. The news of the day is the Wilson Contreras injury. It is a forearm fracture for Cardinals catcher Wilson Contreras. He is the best position player, the top performing position player on this team, the best player period on this team, this side of Sonny Gray. And the Cardinals will now be without Wilson Contreras for the next, he said on the Bally Sports postgame show, 6 to 8 weeks. If you look behind me, I'm not obviously not at Busch Stadium tonight, but I was watching on TV, watching the postgame show, and they aired a clip from the clubhouse. 6 to 8 weeks was the expectation that Wilson was given. Ollie Marmol made it clear as of the moment that he spoke with the media that it's not guaranteed to be surgery. They don't know yet, but if it's surgery, they're going to have him ready for that as early as tomorrow, and then hopefully aggressively rehab and get him back as quickly as possible. But it goes without saying how huge and monumental of a loss this is for the St. Louis Cardinals. It's not would be. We know he's going to miss time. It didn't take long at all for that confirmation to come after the play, the fateful moment in the second inning when his arm collides with J.D. Martinez's bat. A more accurate way to phrase it is that J.D. swung with all his might, put everything into a swing like you do when you're trying to hit a baseball a long, long way. And Wilson's arm was in the path of that swing. And the reaction, oh my goodness. And they showed it on the television broadcast. And hearing the question from Derek Gould on the postgame, I think he said you could hear it from upstairs, the sound. Absolutely brutal. So that was tough to watch. Tough to see that and know that it probably was going to coincide with Wilson Contreras, who I would describe as the heart and soul of this Cardinals team, missing time. You know, there's just no way around it when you see a play like that happen. The fact that this guy has the tenacity and the toughness to be sitting there on the ground trying to wonder if he's going to be able to stay in the baseball game is remarkable. But that's the competitor that Wilson Contreras is. And it's I think Cardinals fans are behind this guy and feel for this guy in this moment. And I know that, you know, a lot has happened over the last year plus with Wilson Contreras and joining this Cardinals team. I think the fan base is fully in his corner at this point is really the point I'm trying to get across. Another example of it tonight with just the toughness that he shows to be writhing in pain on the ground because he's got a broken arm. And, you know, his first thought is, I wonder if I'm going to be able to rub some dirt on it. I mean, it's just craziness. But when you talk about the numbers, the sheer statistics of what Wilson Contreras has meant to the Cardinal lineup, you can look at the lineup tonight. And I'll go ahead and look at the most up-to-date numbers because they've got it here via the MLB.com postgame box score. Wilson Contreras has a 949 OPS as he hits the injured list on Wednesday. That'll become official Wednesday, I assume. 949, it's head and shoulders above anything else the Cardinals have in their lineup to this point. And you can look 1 through 9. Donovan and Nootbaar in the 600 range, 600 plus. Herrera in the 600s. Arenado's pushing 750, not quite there, but closer to his career norms than he would have been a few weeks ago at this time. Mason wins at 690. Goldie is down to 550. And we're going to have to talk Paul Goldschmidt because the 0 for 5 with the three strikeouts tonight was about as bad as we have seen Paul Goldschmidt this year. And that's saying something because he's had some rough moments. But I thought the final at bat, man, it just, well, he struck out once when he had, I think it was either bases loaded or second and third, whatever it was in the prior at bat, swinging through 97. And I get it. 97 is a pretty good giddy up on a fastball, but Paul Goldschmidt has been behind fastballs all year. That's been a primary bugaboo for him. And then you get into that final at bat where, you know, technically the Cardinals are in a spot to potentially win this game. And there's one out in the ninth inning and he looks at two fastballs and then obviously ends up striking out on a pitch way off the plate. So it just looked like a backwards AB, right? You want to be attacking the pitches that you do get in the zone and laying off the ones that are that are fish food and that you don't need to have anything to do with. I think there was a breaking pitch that, you know, his eyes might have lit up a little bit on the one that he turned on and pulled foul because he doesn't seem to be able to catch up to the fastball right now. And so when he got a pitch that he was able to time up a little bit, I think he jumped the gun on it, and that's why he pulled it foul. What a moment that could have been for the Cardinals and for Paul Goldschmidt if he could have steered that one fair and driven it into the seats. But as it turns out, I mean, the pitch 18 inches off the plate or whatever it was, that ends up being the K pitch. So those are really the two big storylines of the night. It's Wilson Contreras because, again, up and down this lineup, there's nobody even remotely close to doing what Wilson has been doing for this team offensively and in the way that he has handled things behind the plate. You know, it's been a notable improvement with a lot of what Wilson Contreras has been able to do as a catcher this year compared to last season. And part of that has been pitch framing. And part of that is maybe why he is so far up close to the batter's box, close to the plate when the moment with JD Martinez happens. Now, JD Martinez has done this before. This is not his first run in, and it's not his first run in with a catcher interference play with a Contreras brother, if I'm not mistaken. Had it happen a couple of times with William, but this is one that the catcher's going to miss at least a month, 6, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. You know, he said 6 to 8. That would be wonderful news for the Cardinals because first glimpse, I kind of thought 8 to 12 weeks. I'm not a doctor. I wouldn't know, but that's just, you're going to be measuring this potentially in months rather than weeks. I guess you could still say weeks, but it's also going to count as multiple months by the time it's all said and done, unless Wilson is able to beat the recovery timeline. So it's brutal. Let me know, Cardinals fans, what you're thinking and feeling tonight. I know a lot of folks were already sort of on the outs with this team. They didn't have expectations. I understand what gets said out there doesn't necessarily always mean that's the pulse of the fan base because sometimes things get said out of frustration. But I think there's also been, in recent days, as the Cardinals have struggled, there's been a lot of comments that I have read from fans that do have a pulse on what's going on. And yes, it's born out of frustration, but it's also, there's some relevance to a lot of what is being said. And so I think, you know, it's just a spot where Cardinals fans have maybe been a little pessimistic, but I've looked at it and said, you know, I still think that this offense is going to be 29th in baseball. Are they going to be, you know, are they going to end up being the top 10 offense that we really thought they'd need to be? Yeah, that ship had probably sailed. But could they find themselves somewhere in the middle was sort of the thought process and the idea that I still sort of maintained and thought they could find a way through. I look at what happened tonight where you hold the 3-0 lead. You get exactly the types of ABs that Ollie Marmol was asking for 24 hours ago when we were in the podium room at Busch Stadium and he's talking about not seeing the competitive at-bats that he was needing to see early in last night's game, talking about Monday's game against Mets starter Sean Manaea. And he wasn't necessarily seeing that. They were in hitters counts, and they were getting themselves out on pitches that those are not the pitches to be getting yourselves out on, is the point that I think Ollie was making last night. And then we saw a complete shift in the first inning. I don't know what happened with the one lineup getting released and then the secondary lineup coming out and it containing the same players but just in a shuffled-up order. But for the first time, you saw Donovan and Nootbaar batting 1-2 in the order, which is what I think I said I would have done on February 1st. Cardinals spent a lot of time going left, right, left, right. The left-left alignment with two guys that have a history of getting on base. Both those guys were able to jumpstart things a little bit tonight with Donovan going 2 for 5 and Nootbaar getting on base a ton, hitting the home run and also walking 3 times. Donovan Nootbaar needs to be the start of this lineup moving forward without question. And I don't really even care if it's a lefty or a righty on the mound. I just think that's the way they ought to do it. It looked good when they did it at times last year. It looked good tonight. And you're going to need every piece of help you can get if the guy that's been sort of carrying things in the middle, Wilson Contreras, is not going to be a part of it for a little while. So that's the shame of it, is that the Cardinals started off so well offensively tonight with the way they were able to get that lead. But then you lose your catcher and you give it up in the way that Miles Michaelis did in the fifth inning, a six-run fifth. That is about as demoralizing of a stretch as you can imagine. And when I saw that going on, I sent a tweet where I said, it's May 7th. I know it's May 7th. But to me, I personally, again, you may have already been here, but for me, seeing that happen and then the way the game play out, the Cardinals not able to mount a charge, I said, I'm going to have a difficult time envisioning a world in which the Cardinals lose this game with a whimper and then still eventually summon the tenacity to turn things around. I said, I realize I'm talking about something as large as the season on May 7th, so that might be inherently a little bit ridiculous, but I felt like I said it anyway because it's how I viewed it in the moment. And for the Cardinals to sort of whimper out of that game, and at least they did put up a bit of a fight. You get the homers from Burleson and Lars Nootbaar, and that's, they're going to need those guys, especially now. But that's tough. I say that this is, and after this, I'll go ahead and take a sip of water and start reading your comments. But I say all this to say that for me, this is the first night that I'll go to bed where if I'm asked the question in this live stream, which it's funny, nobody's really asked recently because everybody sort of has the opinion that the Cardinals are not a playoff team. But if I'm asked, hey, would you say the Cardinals are going to make the playoffs? Yes or no? I would say no. This is the first time, though. If you'd asked it to me last night, I'd have said reluctantly, you know what? I think they're going to find a way. I think they've got it within them. I don't know, man. And look, they could use this as a galvanizing moment, but the fact that they were spotted the three runs when Contreras went out, and then you had that outing from Michaelis, his good outings have been just straining to remain a quality start at this point. His bad ones where maybe, you know, Keith Hernandez, evidently I saw a lot of fodder on social media about the Mets broadcast picking up that he was tipping his curveball, slowing down his motion on his curveball. And, you know, those are things that happen from time to time, but you'd like to think the Cardinals might be able to pick up on anything like that that's going on as quickly as humanly possible. And if the Mets broadcast is picking up on it, it's probably been going on for a little bit of time. Although I will say, not to just assume this as law, Keith Hernandez has done that before. He has a tendency, if you could Twitter search Keith Hernandez tipping, he likes to predict that guys are tipping. Sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. But if you look at the way that played out, Miles gave up six runs. I'm inclined to believe that there might have been something going on there. And it's unfortunate because Cardinals did score five today. And if you're able to just limit the damage a little bit in that inning, this may be a game that you come away on the other side of. But the Cardinals lose it. They're 15-21. Things are bleak. Things are bleak right now for the Redbirds. But we're going to get into your comments.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Like I said, no YouTube memberships yet. We're going to get it fired off soon. So no like special badges in the comments tonight. I apologize, but that'll happen sooner than later. Make sure to like the stream. We're at Scott Rowland, 27 likes. If we could get it up to 50, we've got over 100 people in here, at least for the moment. If you could click that like button before you leave, don't leave yet because we're just getting warmed up. But that would be something that I would appreciate. And the way that you hop in on the live chat is by subscribing to the channel. So please do that as well. All right, now that I've got some water in me, Benjamin says it's all ogre now. Paul Goldschmidt, yep, yep. We'll talk about Goldie. I'm just going to get into these comments a little bit. Hot Pocket wants me to make it stop. We're seeing commentary of rebuild time. I know there's going to be some Fire Ollie in here. I see some of this as well. I'm on the Fire Ollie train, says ADL. If that's true, that he was part of the reason Contreras was positioned closer to the battery, needs to be fired. I think that's ridiculous. there's not a team in Major League Baseball that's not trying to find an advantage when it comes to pitch framing. And if you watched the post game on Valley Sports Midwest, the clip they played from the clubhouse, Contreras said, "I'm not going to do anything different. When I come back from this, I'm going to do the same thing I've been doing because it's been working." His framing numbers are better. Now, does there need to be a conversation about actually pertaining to the back line of the batter's box and that the batter needs to be within it? You know, it's always sort of been an open secret that guys, they cheat back as far as possible. Obviously, the further back you are, the more advantage you have because the fastball is in the air longer. You get a longer look at it, and every little inch might count in those moments. But it's just not something that really ever gets called. If a guy's whole foot is out of the batter's box, his whole foot's out of the batter's box, he won't be the first guy in Major League history to have done it, and he probably won't be the last until they decide that this is something that is a health hazard. It's something that can get guys knocked out of games and knocked out of seasons and maybe should be, you know, something that you take a look at. I will say, though, who's going to be the folks to take a look at it? It's umpires, and we know how that goes. So I don't really know that you're going to get anything from it. But, no, I don't think that, yeah, Ollie's got to go because he told him to improve his pitch framing and to do it in the way that a lot of catchers around the league try to do it. No, I'm not going to buy into that one. Again, I'm going to basically gloss over some of those comments. I know it's an interesting topic, but it's not that Ollie said, "Hey, here's what you need to do." Like, this is a strategy that Wilson Contreras is on board with and said after he got clocked in the arm by a full-speed swing from an MLB power-hitting slugger, "I'm going to do it again. I'm going to continue to be where I am. I was in the right spot." He said, "I don't want to blame anybody," but he knows his swing and should, you know, he was as tactful about it as he should have been, but JD Martinez probably does bear some of the responsibility for this one. Yes, I think if you're not going to enforce where the batter stands, then there does need to be more of an awareness on the part of catchers. And this seems like we've entered into a gray area where both sides kind of think they're in the right. And until an umpire steps in and legislates, okay, here's the way that this is going to be treated, then I don't really know that you're going to be able to consistently avoid these types of moments. That being said, umpires, I don't know that you're going to get the results from them that you're looking for anyway. We're at 46 likes. That does happen to be Paul Goldschmidt's number. So if you would like to get us to at least a John Mabry real quick, we could go to 50 Wayno, 51 Willie. I want to go all the way up to, wasn't Rick Ankiel, used to be 66 when he pitched. So let's get to Rick Ankiel. Keep liking the stream and subscribing. If you have not seen my channel before, Brendan Schaefer, I am a Cardinals writer for KMOV, was not covering tonight's game. However, cover a lot of the home games and put my articles there for firstalert4.com. And do this YouTube channel as well. So if you like Cardinals content, you're in the right place. Hit that subscribe button and join us for the remainder of the season. While I have a lot of you listening, though, I do need to reiterate, if you've been listening to the podcast in recent days, there won't be podcasts during the Brewers series. I will be in a wedding in Atlantic City, actually, this weekend. So I'm traveling at the whole thing. I will not be doing the podcast or the live streams. I'll still find maybe some videos I can put up. I'm doing Hot Take Central on 590 The Fan tomorrow morning. Jimmy the Cat Hayes, if you want to hear him and I break down this Contreras thing, be there bright and early at 7 a.m. on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. So we'll put some stuff up as the weekend goes, but it won't be anything live. I'm not bringing my podcasting equipment. I will be busy. So that's your fair warning. Brett says, even though it's still early May, the Contreras injury feels like the final nail in the coffin. He's talking about for the season. I'm not even sure if we can sell at the deadline when the main selling piece would be Goldie. Look, I don't know, man. We can go ahead and get into the Goldie thing. I talked a little bit about it off the top, but when you have at-bats like he's having and it's consistently, seemingly in those big spots, runners on base, go ahead, run at the plate, go ahead, run on base, and he's not able to come through, and it's the way he's not coming through that it's starting to feel like a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it is hard to watch because there's nobody who takes it harder and who wants it more and who's had a better history, a track record of coming through than Paul Goldschmidt. And it's not happening right now, and it's inexplicable, right? You can just decide that it's the age-related decline and say that he's done. I am not entirely sure that that's true, but this is, when you talk about stretches where he's struggled in the past, this is a longer one than we've ever seen, and it looks as bad as it's ever looked. A 550 OPS is, You do. You have to move him to the 7-hole or lower at this point if he's going to stay off the IL. There's a case to be made that you either just sit him a couple of days. That question was asked of Ollie Marmol tonight, and he didn't dismiss it outright. So it could be a case where you sit him for a little bit, day or two, and just start to see if you can get him right behind the scenes, or an IL stint just to if there's something going on that needs to be addressed, then maybe you were able to do it that way. But I do agree at this point, you know, for a while it was, look, everybody's not hitting. There's no one more guy to blame over another. The guy's getting paid the most, you're going to blame, obviously, but everybody was struggling. If you could see an alignment of the lineup where Donovan Nootbaar can get it cooking again at the top, and Alec Burleson had a big game tonight as well, you bump those guys up in the lineup, and Goldie's seventh or lower if he's in the lineup. I think that's a reasonable thing at this point, simply because those are meaningful at bats, and I don't know that fifth is low enough with the way that he's looking right now. This is not something that you probably heard me say before, but I'm full on board with that at this point because tonight was a tough one. Tonight there were opportunities to win this game, even with the Michaelis blow up, which is a concern, by the way. I mean, this is a guy that's under contract for, what, $16 million again next year. Cardinals locked themselves into that. His ERA is 6.43. He's not been good enough. And it's always the one big inning, it seems. And when he's not making a competitive pitch, it is really not a competitive pitch. And big league hitters know what to do with those pitches. So that is a concern. It was already, but now it's something that I know we're talking about the offense. But, the Miles Michaelis start, that's a start that the 36th game the Cardinals have played this year. I think probably a solid 30 of the starts that have been made by starting pitchers maybe would have been good enough to win this game. 25 out of the 36 games they've had. This was one of the lesser starts we've seen, and it came at a bad time. I'm not going to allude to the comments about firing various folks from the television broadcast because I think people are just a little bit too angry tonight. 56 likes. We can advance that another 10 or 12, I would assume. Keep it going on the likes. Appreciate you guys. Coyote says, so sad for Contreras. Cannot even imagine the pain with then following the disappointment of a great season cut short. Here is the thing, and he does say, wish him a good recovery. 6 to 8 weeks is what Contreras told the media. You know, that sounds like an aggressive, optimistic timeline, but if that ends up being something close to what it is, then, that puts him back, what, mid-June, late June, early July, pre-All-Star break, potentially. You know, and if you're cutting it close, it could make sense to just give him that extra rest and have him post-ASB, which is a bummer because he would have been in the damn game. He would have started the game at catcher the way things were going. His OPS is 949. It's been amazing. Yeah, the Chip and Brad talk. You guys are out of pocket, in my opinion. I know the injury is bad, but the offense was awful even with him healthy and hitting well. Let's not act like they aren't already going nowhere. Now, could the front office use this as an excuse? Certainly, it could be used. And look, it's as big of an injury as they could have sustained tonight, unless Sonny Gray was going to slip on the dugout steps or something because he wasn't pitching. It's as bad of an injury as they could have sustained. Not a season ender, so I guess technically it could have been worse. But, yeah, this is a guy that you could ill afford to lose. Now, here's what I will say. You're going to see Pedro Páez come up, and I think he's going to play some, too. You know, I'm interested to see a little bit what his bat could be about as well. And defensively, he's probably better than Ivan Herrera at this stage. So Herrera's bat's going to stay in there if it's clicking. But I wouldn't overlook Pedro Páez as a candidate to actually get some run in this whole thing. So we'll see about that. Subscribe to this channel if you're just joining me. Brendan Schaefer, St. Louis Cardinals writer, covering the Cardinals and putting this YouTube channel together. So appreciate you guys. If you want Cardinals content all season long, make sure the new viewers here, I'm telling, to hit that subscribe button. Seth asks, why is no one being held accountable? The season's over. Well, no, the season's 36 games in. But like I said, and I don't know what that means, Seth. Look, I was there covering the game on Monday. Why is no one being held accountable? Is that a shot at the media? Is it a shot at Mozeliak? You let me know, Seth, who you're directing this to. Because sometimes I do. I make the mistake of seeing comments that are sent to me on my live stream or on my YouTube video, and I reply to them as though I'm being I'm the one being spoken to, when sometimes I have to step back and it may be that you're talking to the front office. Why is no one being held accountable is code for why hasn't anyone been fired? All right, fair enough. And the media doesn't have the ability to do that, but the media can ask questions, and that's what happened Monday night. And I thought Ollie Marmol actually did a really solid job of answering the questions. And then tonight you did see a difference in the offense, at least in the early going, and certainly with the home runs that were hit late. So you score five, I'm not going to really have a lot to nitpick about. This was a game where Miles Michaelis didn't do his job, and I think the Cardinals were a little shell-shocked after what happened to Contreras, too. I think that played a role. But, 36 games in, season's not over, but I will say this is the first night that I'll go to sleep with the question of will they or won't they make the playoffs. My answer tonight as I go to bed is going to be no, if I had to pick one. Now, that doesn't mean I don't reserve the right to change that if they pick it back up. And look, if that ends up happening, and then you can use that as, Brendan Schaefer was wrong. He said they weren't going to make it. Look, I'm just giving it to you as my honest opinion on where things were. I wasn't at that point yet, but without Contreras for 6 to 8 weeks, man, and with, the pitching kind of teetering a little bit when a guy like Michaelis has not done his job and you're seeing a crack here and there in the bullpen, I don't think it's a bad unit. I think the guys who have been elite in that unit can remain so, but it's still the margin for error is so slim when an offense isn't performing, and you could see a world in which the offense could end up being decent, and then if another area of the club steps back, the Cardinals still don't find ways to win. That could be what ends up being a really trying situation for this Cardinals team if it comes to pass. Brett says, get ready to see Alec Burleson at first base next year. You should get ready for that possibility, because even if the Cardinals do bounce back and they make a run at this thing, maybe they don't trade Paul Goldschmidt at the deadline because there's not a lot of value. But regardless, I think you're going to get into a situation where this year ends, and let's say they win 82 games and they shock everybody in this stream right now, because I don't think a lot of people are feeling too high about the Cardinals, and they kind of fall a little short of the playoffs, but they weren't a terrible team when it's all said and done. What do they do with Paul Goldschmidt? I mean, they could still let him walk if the performance doesn't turn around. So you're looking at Ivan Herrera, Wilson Contreras, Alec Burleson, and if Lucan Baker can try and force his way back into the conversation, then maybe he can. But yeah, those are sort of the again, I don't want to do too much look ahead to next year stuff in May, but this was a tough blow tonight, and I'm curious to see how the Cardinals are going to respond to it. I was curious to see within this game how they were going to respond to it, and the response, unfortunately, wasn't there. It was not sufficient to be able to pull out this win. It would have been a pretty emotional win if you're able to do it for your catcher, but instead they had a 3-0 lead, and Michaelis was not able to hold it, and they were not able to come back and get enough offense to make up for that disaster fifth inning that took place. Michaelis ends the day 4 innings, 6 earned runs, no walks, but 3 strikeouts, 1 homer allowed, 9 hits allowed, a lot of contact, and that's what you're going to get from Miles Michaelis. He's not going to miss a bunch of bats. It's just the nature of where he's at, and that's led to a 6.4 ERA. That's not tenable for the Cardinals to win a bunch of games when he's out there, if that's the level of consistency that they're going to get from him moving forward. They have to hope that it's not, but it's what it's been so far. Aaron asks me what happens if they get swept by the Mets. Well, they'll be 7 games under, and they'll be really feeling down and out as they head on a road trip to play a game again on Thursday, because they're in Milwaukee Thursday. It's no rest for the wicked. I believe somebody was asking about Paul Goldschmidt on their fantasy team. Yeah, you probably are safe to drop him. If anything, right, wouldn't you like to drop him this was about Michaelis. Well, I think it applies to both. Here's the way I look at this. This might be a little bit backwards, but if you've got your fantasy team, but you care more about your favorite team, if it's the Cardinals, you go, look, I'm going to drop this guy and I'm not going to worry about it. If somebody else in my fantasy league gets to benefit from Cy Young reincarnation for Miles Michaelis or Paul Goldschmidt turning back into MVP form, well, just know that you will have done something really meaningful for the Cardinals by casting him away and letting him fulfill his destiny as becoming a great player again. So there you go. Tyler, you have my permission. Drop Michaelis. You have my permission, man. ADL offering up his arm to Contreras, which I think is a really nice sentiment. Ross says the video was jumpy at first, but it's working now. Yeah, that happens. I hope that the audio is at least good. Reese, thanks for being here. Big fan of the pod. First time tuning in live. Well, thank you for being a first time live stream participant. I would pin that if I knew how to, but I don't. So I'm sorry. Felix says, sad for Wilson, but this is disastrous for fans as well. Now the front office will have the perfect excuse. When they win 71, the front office can roll out the Wilson injury and do nothing. No, they can't. No, Cardinals fans, if the Cardinals have a losing season this year, to me, it's incumbent upon John Mozeliak to step aside. He should not have his hand in this retool / rebuild if this is another losing season. And that's a full sentence. You know, I don't have a caveat. I don't have a, well, if they, or what if. There's no more of that. It's 2024. They got to use the injury excuse last year when it was kind of fake because they didn't really have injuries, not like some teams do. And some of those teams battle through those injuries and still find a way. Look, last year's team was just a bad team. Injuries isn't the reason that it didn't succeed. Injuries down the stretch, you could say, well, look at all the guys that ended up on the IL in September. Yeah, that's phony, though, because that's not why they were a bad team. They were a bad team on July 31st, right? They were a bad team when they were selling off their 40% of their rotation. Injuries aren't why last year's team wasn't good. Adam Wainwright was injured, and the fact that they continued to pitch him injured is part of why last year's team wasn't good, but it was not nearly the whole thing. They used up the injury protocol last year. That was the, you can say, excuse. I would say it was their explanation, but you don't get another year of that if you're John Mozeliak. And it kind of sucks. Life isn't fair sometimes, but when I look at the reason they're bad this year, and so far they are, they're 15-21. They're on a pace to lose like 94, 95 games. That's bad. Still time to turn that around in calendar, but if you're asking for my sentiment and whether they will, I'm on the side of I don't think they make the playoffs as of today. And it's the first time I'll say that. And the Contreras injury is a big reason. If they had just lost this game in normal fashion, would I have been so bold as to come out and say that with nobody even asking me the question? Probably not. But I do think 6 to 8 weeks, maybe more, without your best position player is, call me crazy, but it's going to make life difficult on them. And so that's kind of where I am on that. I don't think there should be any excuse. Like I was getting ready to say a moment ago before I got sidetracked, the pitching was the reason they were bad last year. And John Mozeliak did a commendable job in addressing that in the offseason. Sonny Gray is fantastic. Kyle Gibson has been really, really strong. 6+ innings in every start he's made. That's 7 in a row, right? Mo did something right there. Lance Lynn, the numbers are okay, but I need to see more strikes from Lance Lynn. He doesn't throw enough strikes, has been the book on Lance Lynn so far this year, and why you've seen outings where he's only gone 5 innings. A lot of them, in fact. I think he's only had one game where he's gone more than, or where he's recorded an out in the 6th. I think that's only happened once. You can check me on that. But Lance Lynn's still been pretty solid. So Mo gets credit for that. I brought in Andrew Kittredge. I get that what he had to give up was Palacios, and he'd have the highest OPS on the team now that Contreras is injured if Palacios was here and playing and doing what he's been doing for the Rays. That's a lot of ifs, a lot of, not sure that it would have actually played out that way sort of stuff, but he did get Kittredge and has put together a pitching staff that has been able to do what its job has been. You know, it's matched its job description, but the offense has now taken to say step back wouldn't even be remotely accurate. It is absolutely cratered and is one of the worst in the league to this point. The numbers say it. Do I think they have the worst collection of offensive talent in the league? No, but they're performing as one of the bottom offenses in baseball. Those are the numbers. We're allowed to say the numbers, and that's what they are. So should John Mozeliak have known that that was coming for this offense? No, I don't think that was necessarily evident. And you might say, I knew Goldie would decline, though. I knew Arenado wouldn't be the same. That's fine. You didn't also believe that Donovan, Gorman, Nootbaar, and Walker, who were all 15% above league average last year, would all be well below league average to this point in this year. You didn't think it. You can tell me you did. I won't believe you. You just didn't, right? So even if you thought, hey, this offense isn't good enough to contend, I'll buy that. You didn't think it was the 28th, 29th offense in baseball. And I still don't think that it is. And even with Wilson Contreras out, I still don't think that it is going to be. But with Wilson out, is the ceiling top 16, top 18? Like, I don't really think that's going to inspire anybody to predict contention for this club. So it may not be Mo's fault in exactly the way that it went down based on what he did this offseason, because it should have been that you come in with a group of position players and those guys carry the lumber, and they haven't. So can you blame the Pobo for that? Well, maybe, maybe not, but it just doesn't matter anymore. This becomes a bottom line sort of scenario. Two losing seasons when you've continued to tell fans to be patient, and that patience has to run dry at a certain point, because the it matters whether you win or lose. Now, if you want to tell fans that you're going to take a step back, you can tell them that. But be honest with that if that's what it's going to be, and probably let somebody else see that through if this season doesn't go well. I give Mo the full year, though. I don't say Mo has to do anything at a certain point this year until they are committed to, if they say, hey, we're going to be sellers at the deadline, then I think it's probably time to let somebody else handle that. I don't know how easy that is to do in the middle of a season, but that would be my preference if I'm looking at it and saying, or if you're someone out there who thinks that Ollie Marmol's job should be in question. I don't feel that way, but if you do, and I know a lot of Cardinals fans do, John Mozeliak should not be at liberty to hire an additional manager. Be number four. He staked his reputation on, look, I don't think Mike Schilt's right for this team. We're going to go with the new guy. And I think the new guy is good. I think he's sharp. I think with a better roster and a better scenario, he would be showing that right now. And I get that he's got to win games. So I can't just defend him forever and say, oh no, don't fire him. Look, at some point, the Cardinals are going to have to win games. It's just that simple. And there's nobody who knows that more than Ollie Marmol. So that's not the conversation we're having. My point is, if Mozeliak, if that's his guy, and then you want to say, no, the problem right now is this guy that I hired, then the problem is you. So that's another reason that I think, you know, if you want to say, well, why did he get the extension? Why did Ollie get the extension? Well, these guys are tied together at this point. I don't think Mo ever gets fired by Bill DeWitt, but I also think it would be incumbent upon Mo, if this ends up truly being like a 2023 level bad, 91, 95 losses, Mo has to graciously step aside. That's what would have to happen. Would it happen? I don't know. It's what would need to happen. And look, I'm going to continue to say, hopefully that's not what we're talking about. Hopefully the Cardinals turn into the offense that they thought they could be back in mid-February, and we have a different conversation moving forward. But until then, you know, that this is the kind of stuff we do have to talk about. The Grave of Einstein, thank you for the super chat. I'm sorry it took me so long to discuss it, but I was wanting to get the full thought out of what I was on there. I really appreciate the super chat. And he says this: get a good encouraging lead after a bad loss. Best player, I think he meant, goes down and game is a heartbreaking loss. God doesn't want the Cardinals to win. But between you and me, I'm not that religious. 11:20 tomorrow. Here we go. It is a sunny day tomorrow, isn't it? Although I think it's supposed to storm. So that could be, I mean, just imagine if the Cardinals go, well, hey, things aren't going well right now, and, you know, we really do got to figure something out. Maybe have a stopper. Oh, good. Sonny Gray's on the mound. You just watch. Watch what will happen when the weather comes in and turns that start for Sonny into two innings, and then you get the rain delay. That's kind of the way things are going right now for the Cardinals. But the Grave of Einstein, thank you for the super chat. And thanks as well to ADL, who blames Steven Matz for all of it. Come on, bro. I'm just proud of you for not saying Stinky Steve in the live chat, because that's typically what ADL refers to Matt as, which is not nice, but that is what he calls him. So thank you both so much for the super chats. That honestly, I was like, I don't know if I'm doing a live tonight, because it'll last over an hour. It always does. I got to be on Hot Take Central early in the morning, but I'm like, you know, let's rip it and see what happens. And you live chatted me into, now it doesn't matter if YouTube gives me ads or not on these videos. I'll at least get what I needed from this as a work perspective. So thank you, boys. Drew says, sucks to be a Cardinals fan. Well, ouch. No real change will come until Cardinals get new ownership. Same result every night and mostly same fashion. Frustration is an understatement. Look, I made this comparison because I think somebody on my YouTube channel comments, and I'd credit them if I remember who had said it. they made it to me, this comp. If you're a football fan, are there some comparisons to be made with where the Cardinals are right now and where we've seen the New England Patriots the last few years? And not like, I'm not saying you have to like the Patriots if you're a Cardinals fan. Typically, those are diametrically opposed in a lot of ways. Like, I grew up a Rams fan in St. Louis, hated the Patriots, that whole thing. But I think it's kind of interesting where you look at, like, Tom Brady. He got roasted this week, and it was really funny on Netflix, and I want to go back and watch more of it. But you had a falling out between, you know, their franchise player, Tom Brady. He has to go somewhere else. Now, in the case of the Cardinals, their franchise guys, that's not really what happened within the last few years. They didn't leave to go elsewhere. That happened in 2011 with Albert. But it was really just Albert and Yachty retiring at the same time, and Waino basically losing all effectiveness in that same moment and then retiring a year later. The Cardinals that a lot of people grew up with, are the Cardinals that you've known for the last, whatever, two decades plus, are they that same organization right now that has an edge over the competition that you just always know, oh, the Cardinals are going to be there. The Cardinals are going to be in the mix. Or are they sort of, and I'm not saying they're trying to trade on what they've been in the past, but it's just a matter of the edge isn't there. I think it's fair. And Drew says it sucks to be a Cardinals fan. I don't really think you mean that. But I think it's fair to say that the edge that the organization had for so long is gone. They don't have that edge anymore. They don't have that, the je ne sais quoi. It's not there anymore. Can they get it back? I think that's possible, certainly. But with where things are right now, it's hard to stake a claim and to die on that hill that, no, it's still the same Cardinals. They haven't lost that luster. With the way things are going right now, man, it's hard to say that there hasn't been that decline. I do think playoffs are random. October can be random at times, but I also think there are teams that are built to win when you get to October because of the whether it's the character or the experience or the just the dog, you know, guys that have that dog in them, to be as casual with this conversation as I can be. I feel like those teams can do well. And you look at the teams that did for the Cardinals in 06 and 11, those teams didn't win the most games. They had to scrap and claw and fight their way in, but they had that dog. You know, they had the pieces. They had the recipe. Tony La Russa, very much a believer in, if you've read his books and different things, in the recipe and the clubhouse and having the right mix. And it's hard to quantify maybe at times. More of a feel thing than anything. But and here's the other part about that. Good teams are going to feel like they have those things, right? Teams that lose most of their games like the Cardinals have since the start of 2023, well, of course it's going to feel like this Cardinals group doesn't have that because they're losing most of their games. So is it the chicken or the egg? That's another fair question. But I just think that it goes beyond that. It's not just the roster. It's the organization and the development of players, and gosh, you never used to see the Cardinals on the wrong end of so many trades, right? But doesn't it feel like, even anecdotally, it's not always fair to go to anecdotal examples because then you can look up a couple months later and say, well, actually, Randy Arozarena is not really doing much this year. Or actually, everybody in the league could have had Adolis Garcia, but nobody chose to, right? He was a late bloomer. Like, you could frame any conversation you want in any different way. But it does feel like the Cardinals have had more than their fair share of those that you look at and go, that doesn't feel like a Cardinals move. But now it's kind of, the script has flipped, right? It becomes predictable to know that a Tyler O'Neill is going to have a falling out with the manager or falling out with the team, and that he's going to go somewhere else. And by gosh, if he stays healthy enough, he's going to end up being a really good player and having a really good season. It's predictable anymore. And that's, I think, part of what makes people upset is like, you're almost helpless to it. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy anymore. Now, that's a big picture conversation about this organization, and maybe that's the one that you want to have. I still look at a lot of the in-season conversations to be what's going on with the team. But tonight, I think we are in more of a big picture mood because, you know, one of the guys that you brought in to be a factor in the clubhouse and certainly in the lineup, Wilson Contreras, he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, maybe more. And you're left with the question of, well, my gosh, with him, this team wasn't enough. What are they without him for this stretch of time? And can they even keep it afloat until he gets back to believe that this could be a contender after he returns in the second half of the season? Like, these are hard questions, I think, taking place tonight. Rena, thank you so much for the super chat. She says, here for the therapy. Feels like it's over. That's where I'm going to, like, does it feel really rough right now? It does. And if you think it's over out there in Cardinals land, I can't tell you here's why it's not, because it might be. It might be over. It is only May the 7th, right? But tonight was about as bad as it could have gone. Like I said, short of Sonny Gray tripping and you know, falling in the dugout steps and injuring himself on a day that he didn't pitch, you can't lose Wilson Contreras and expect things to just be okay. You know, he's a huge piece. But that's where I do say, like, Ivan Herrera, next man up. Like, that's, if you want to talk about those teams that have that dog in them, the next man up thing is real. It has been real for a long time in not only baseball but other sports when it comes to that. So is it going to be a spot where Ivan Herrera can thrive? Can Pedro Pajes come up and say, I'm ready for this moment? You know, I don't know that you replace Wilson Contreras. You don't. Neither of these guys are number three hitters in their lineup, and Wilson is. He is that. So to not have him is going to be difficult on an offense that's already not been going. But maybe that's not to say it's a positive thing, because I don't even think it makes sense to silver lining this, because there is no silver lining. You just lost your best hitter. But you saw Newt Barr and Burleson go deep tonight. What if there is this collective attitude of just kind of F it? Like, look, we haven't been getting it done, and the guys that are able to are going to do it now. It's time to go. And maybe that just forces them into a spot of being uncomfortable with where they're at, and that can manifest in results. Might be reaching. It didn't work for Goldie tonight, and there might be something physical going on there that's at the heart of it, because it does not, plain and simple, doesn't look right for him optically. It doesn't look right. But the rest of those guys, you know, it could be an opportunity for somebody else, and maybe it's somebody that we don't expect, but that guy is ready to show the world what he's about. You never know. I would just hate to see, and look, I talk about this all the time. I'm not a Cardinals fan. I covered this team. I used to be a Cardinals fan. I view it from a different viewpoint right now, a different perspective as a somebody who covers the team. But I see all the Cardinals fans in this chat. Like, I know you guys still care. I know you still want to see them do well. At least allow yourself, right? Allow yourself to dream on the possibility that this could still be a fun summer. Doesn't look like it's going to be right now. I'm not trying to blow sunshine up your ass. I'm just saying, like, it's May 7th, and the existential dread that happened from last season, ugh, it was, nobody had fun. Nobody had fun. And maybe it's hard because you're still being told by the organization, no, 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 be patient. This is going to be the good thing. The good thing is just behind the curtain. And then when it doesn't show, you feel like you've been hoodwinked again. And that's not a good feeling. So maybe there is some element to that where it's like the framing and the messaging from the org is part of the problem, where if you had even... Maybe you, as a Cardinals fan, would need to see it not be Mo in order for you to feel a different way and have the angst, sort of the dark cloud lifted. Because right now, like, to say that Mo has been a dark cloud of the Cardinals is not a fair characterization. He's done a lot of very good things. The last couple of years, though, the org itself does have a bit of a dark cloud over it with just the losing, right? So because of that, maybe there does need to be a different voice that can just take things in a new direction, reinvigorate. And maybe the fan base would be invigorated by that, even in a world where next year they could come in saying, hey, look, our payroll's 110. It's not 185. Or our payroll's 120. We might not be as good this year, but then at least you have a set of expectations to know what you're supposed to expect. People don't like to continue to be told that, hey, it's going to be great. We're going to contend. And then when you don't, it's like, well, here's the reason. Here's the excuse, etc. And, like, I don't think day-to-day the Cardinals are doing that, but I certainly think you do get that in the offseason when the season ends and there's not even a, you know, there's not even an end-of-season press conference to where you can say, you can have Mo look the fans in the eyes in that moment and say, we blew it this year, but here's where we want to get you back, and here's where we want to do right by you. You know, some people may not think that stuff matters. I made the case from the moment they didn't have the presser, honestly, from the moment that they said, oh, we're going to wait until later in October. It's like, yeah, sure you are. This is never happening. Okay. Those sorts of things I do think matter, and that's where, like, the Cardinals could afford to have a little better messaging. Does it have a tangible impact on wins and losses, how they handle those moments? No, but I think it does have the ability to either strengthen their relationship with fans or see it deteriorate. Just my two cents. Kevin, thank you for the super chat. Dylan Carlson is back and about to make his superstar turn. Lead this team to the top. Well, I don't think that, but time to start seeing his talent. Yeah. I worry a little bit that they might have rushed Dylan back, which I get it. Last week when he hit the homer in the minors, I was saying, bring him back. Like, they got nobody here anyway. Just nobody's hitting. Bring him back if he's ready. But, boy, he hasn't looked quite himself since getting back. And he's assimilating quite nicely relative to the rest of the team, right? Because that's what everybody's sort of been doing. Carlson with an 0-for-1 tonight, pinch hitting late in the game. He has not gotten a hit yet this season. Gee whiz. E-Rock says, turning off MLB TV scoring updates has been the best decision I've ever made. 10 of 10 would recommend. Thank you, E-Rock TV, for the super chat. Appreciate you, man. Okay. Took me a minute to get through those super chats, but I really do appreciate them. Today feels like Groundhog Day a year ago. That's Patrick. Early May, team looks bad, and things don't look to be improving anytime soon. Well, Contreras is leaving the catcher position tonight. That's what happened last year for a very different reason at this time. But, yeah, it doesn't look good right now. I'm not doing the sunshine thing because it doesn't look good. I see what you see. This was a tough one. This was the worst night of the season for the St. Louis Cardinals so far. Jeff wondering odds that Goldie takes a minor league assignment. No, I don't think you're going to option him, but you could IL him, give him a week, and then he could, just get some swings somewhere on a rehab assignment. If he's got an injury designation, then I could see that. We're closing in on an hour. I do definitely need to cut this off around 11:45, 11:50, because I'll have to post it to Spotify and get to bed so I can get up early in the morning and work again. But just letting everybody know, keep those comments coming. I'll try to roll through them pretty quick here. Landon said, wow, talk about a disappointing game. Yeah, no kidding, man. And again, the loss is the loss, but the Contreras thing is that's what leads here. That's what's a problem. Snips, I think, sent Goldie to is that the Chinese League? I'm not familiar with the team there, but I don't think Goldie's going there necessarily. Slim Hot Pocket mentions it. Catcher's interference merchant, JD Martinez. Yeah, and Korn is asking if JD's going to get beaned. Not by Sonny. I think Miles would have done it for sure tonight. I think he would have, but he didn't make it to that spot in the lineup in the fifth. And I'm not going to put that on Miles. Like, he might not have done it, especially in that spot where the Cardinals were suddenly losing in the game. But, like, that's bad, man. And whether it's his fault or not, that's old school baseball, and Miles is the kind of guy to deliver some old school justice. Would not have shocked me if you would have seen that AB again. Now, I could be wrong because it happened in the second inning, so I'm sure he faced him again, but it didn't happen instantly. I think part of it is like you're not going to do it right away, maybe. But look, man, if it was somebody else than Sonny tomorrow and you didn't really need the win, it wouldn't shock me. But I also think the Cardinals understand the game. They understand that those things happen and that, yeah, they're trying to inch their catcher as close to the plate as they can get so that they can gain an advantage, and that JD's trying to gain an advantage as well. But that was, that's a gnarly one to just slam it on the guys. It's not like he did it on purpose, but he's done it before. And so what's the awareness of your swing? And is it incumbent upon that player to recognize that at some point? Those are all fair things to ask. I've got more super chats. I will promise you to read all the super chats, but I'm also going to try to get to some of these other comments because I appreciate you guys for taking your time with me. But I do have to prioritize these because Snips shot me a super chat. Thank you, brother. My problem, I almost sounded like Sketch a little bit there. What's up, brother? My problem with the org right now is there is zero direction. If the front office said we are going to completely tank, I'd feel a lot more comfortable, but we are stuck in an endless loop of mediocrity. I think that's what it is. It's the messaging that gets people sideways because they're continuing to be told that, hey, we're going to contend. We're going to try and but are you going to win the World Series? Well, we're going to try to put the best team together and give it our shot. And if we get into October, great things can happen. Yeah, but you lost 91 games, but we're going to fix this. And we really do believe we can contend. And it's like, okay, at a certain point, does it end up that the Cardinals just need to maybe have some different messaging, whether that's different individuals delivering the messages or acknowledge where they're at? Acknowledge that, look, they haven't had a great development system when it comes to pitching in recent years, and that is an element that could be holding them back, and it's difficult to go out and nail every free agent signing to backfill a rotation for years. Now, they might have freaking done it this offseason. Lynn Gibson and Sonny have been good, collectively have been really good, but those are short fixes to a larger problem. You can't go out and expect to nail that every offseason and then every July say we need two more starters or we're going to sell off the ones that are any good because we're tanking, right? That's what happened in August 1st last year. So it's tough, but Snips, appreciate you, man. And I agree. I think a lot of Cardinals fans are where you are, believing that it's just that mediocrity loop. And it's not even necessarily that the team is that exciting at times, too. Although I would push back on the own argument that I just formed, talk about schizophrenia. But I think teams that win more games are exciting, right? And the Cardinals aren't winning, so ergo, not exciting, which I think is a thing. ADL, back in the game. You don't have to super chat me multiple times, but I appreciate it. I am going to read your comment. He said, I'm really good at running the Cardinals in MLB The Show. That's more fun than this. Yeah, I'm going to that. I told everybody I'm going to that wedding that I'm in this weekend. But when I get back, I want to start trying to set up MLB The Show streaming because I did get the game. I am bad at it. I can pitch a little bit. Let me know, too, you guys that play the show, how do you pitch? What is your method of pitching? Because I use pure analog, and I think it's the only way. It, like, feels to me almost like real pitching somehow. But I know a lot of other people do not use that and think it's crazy to do so. But anyway, I can't hit for my life, though. I need hitting tips on MLB The Show stat, like really bad, before I can start streaming myself doing it. Otherwise, I'll just be like that guy that streams himself all day trying to get an inside the park homer and just resetting every time he fails. That's kind of fun to watch. I've sat for 20 minutes watching that dude. I don't know if he's ever actually gotten an inside the park home run. Anyway, ADL uses the pulse meter. I've tried it, dude. I can't figure the damn thing out. I really can't. Clay uses it. I'll read all of those if everybody tells me how you pitch on the show. I am kind of curious, but I just could not figure out pulse at all. Analog is the only way for me. Anyway, Clay said, I asked a couple weeks back why we were seeing more interferences with the catchers. Tonight they showed the rise of those calls since 2018, up from 44 in 18 to about 90 last year, already 30-something this season. Look, and that's why when people, I got the question and I got a few texts too asking like, is Contreras mad at the Cardinals for asking him to scooch up? And my answer was no, that's not the sense I get, especially because if you watch the postgame, he said, I'm not stopping. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing because it's been helping our team, right? But I think that's sentiment across MLB. Catchers are being asked to adopt strategies that put them in better positions to frame, and it's also putting them in spots to get hurt, unfortunately. 74 likes. You guys have been awesome tonight. Let's get to 80. I'm going to try to blow through some more comments. I cannot go past midnight, but 11:45, 11:50, we can swing that. Peter says this team is so damn bad. They're playing bad, man. Scott, thank you for your kind comment. Says I do a great job with my commentary on the Cardinals. Thank you, Scott, for that thought. Agree with playing MLB The Show, playing that as well as the Cardinals, and it's great. Yeah, whatever roster moves you guys are making on the show, you send Mo an email. I don't know. Maybe it'll help. C. Ramirez asking, we're a fan. What happened to me? Why am I not a fan anymore? Well, I cover the Cardinals. I'm a credentialed writer that covers the Cardinals. I write about this team, and I started doing that in 2016, and the fandom is not something that's a part of that. You're objective when you're in that role, and a lot of people that knew me growing up are like, well, there's no way you actually, it's like wink, wink, you're a Cardinal fan, right? I'm like, no, it's not really. It's hard to describe, but when you're in there, you just have a different perspective. And I want to see the guys do well, you know, because you get a chance to talk with them and you kind of know more a little bit about what they're going through because you can see the look on their face when they're at their locker, like different little things like that. And so I want to root for the guys. I want to see the guys do well, and I want to see good stories emerge. It's not that I'm completely divested. Gosh, I talk about them all the time on here and on podcasts and radio, and I write, and it's like, it's better to write about a winning team if we're all being honest, but, and to talk about one too. So it's just different. The way I frame it, Ramirez, is that I was a diehard fan and the Cardinals used to be able to ruin my day when they would lose. Doesn't ruin my day now. I am just in business mode of thinking, okay, do I do a stream? What do I talk about? How do I communicate to the fans? It's truly just a different way of looking at it. And so it's not that like anything happened. It's just, I got a job. I got a dream opportunity that I'm continuing to run with, is honestly all it was. If you would have told me when I was a kid that I would be doing this, I would have thought that I'd still be a fan, right? I would have thought that, oh yeah, I'll be a fan, of course, but I'll just be, you know, secret about it. No, it's just, it's a different way of doing things. And, I wouldn't trade it right now. I'm still pursuing, trying to feel like I can make it in this business, but really am having a lot of fun doing it. But it does. It changes your perspective. Scott, thank you so much for the super thanks, I think it's called, because there's no comment there. But a cool dancing guy, yippee. That's what the Cardinals are saying. Yippee. 15-21. Yippee. Joey uses pinpoint. I am going to read through all of those. I have to scroll through them right now so I can read the Cardinal questions. But everybody's got their different the show opinion. And something I am going to do, and it's not that I won't let you guys be my friend on the show regardless, but when I start up YouTube memberships, I did put in there that anybody that becomes a member, you know, I'm committing to making sure that we trade usernames and play on the show, you know, not all the time, but I also have this issue going on where I have T-Mobile internet and I have to reset my modem like multiple times a week in order to play online. So maybe the world is saying, don't spend your time on this game because you suck at it. I don't know what it is, but no, that'll be one of the things that I do too. I'll make sure to link up with anybody who wants to. I want to start a Discord to kind of have private conversations with the groups of members as well. I got ideas in my head. Brendan's not big on the execution, and the cat would make fun of me for talking in third person there, but that's okay. With the injuries, the team just feels lost. Like they're looking for the next man to get hit, to get the hit. Yeah. Everything about the approach offensively is passive or overly aggressive. You know, I thought that was true in prior games, but I think that today they actually had a much better approach in the early going. The thing is, like, you can't let a starter off the hook, and they've been doing it a lot and letting the starter off the hook. And tonight they didn't. They were able to get to a guy early. You'd like to always see more, but scoring five runs, it's hard to really nitpick too much about the offensive approach today. But generally speaking, I think there is something to that. Mariposa says it's not our farm system. It's also a product of being a winning team for a long while. You do not get number one picks while being in the playoffs. That's why teams go through teardowns to rebuild farms. It's a great point, right? The Cardinals are consistently drafting in the lower end of drafts over the course of history, and being able to do a lot with a little is a credit to the organization that they've been able to be successful for so long, despite the fact that they're really never picking in the top 10. Now, that's going to change. They're going to have the number, what is it, 7 pick coming up in this year's draft. They got to nail it. You can't have, and I'm not trying to disparage a guy that's currently in the org, but you can't have like a Michael McGreevy type of pick where, well, he's got good command, but we're not so sure about if he's going to really flash upper 90s fastball. And, you know, they have to really go for broke with this pick, I think, and shoot for upside. Now, there have been times where they've done that and it hasn't panned out. Delvin Perez, you know, is an example where they felt like a guy fell to them with some pure, unadulterated upside, and he just did not pan out as a ball player. Jordan Walker, Mason Wynn, where Tink Hens is another one in that 2020 draft. They went for the upside, and maybe those guys can be part of the wave that can really turn this organization around. But right now, we're not seeing it just yet from guys like Walker. Clay says, I absolutely believe in Ivan Herrera. Not upset to have him catching. Obviously wish Wilson had not gotten hurt. Yeah. Herrera, this is a big spot for him. Big chance for him and Pajas both. GB is excited to see Soto in a Cardinal uniform next season. I guess he's also playing MLB The Show. That's fun. Yeah, Spencer, I do need to mention that Crawford made a really freaking nice play up the middle. That was a really good play, and I had tweeted some things and said, look, if he's going to get these starts at short when Wynn doesn't, they need to start getting something from him and to continue justifying that. Now, he didn't get a hit in the game. He's 0-91 for the average, reached base via walk, so he did get on base once, and did make a nice defensive play. So that was good to see from him. But again, are we lowering the bar to say, hey, defensive play, like start him again tomorrow? He does need to hit eventually, but he's the 26th man on the roster. They've got other issues in addition to, you know, what he's given them. Patrick, thank you for being here. He's peaced out, but says hope that Gray is solid tomorrow. Luke, what's going on? I appreciate the nice message. If Sonny Gray trips and falls, I'm blaming Brendan. Yeah, that's probably fair. I mentioned it twice, so that's probably not good. And I don't want him getting wind of that because I would never wish that to happen. And, you know, ball players are a little superstitious. So pretend I just never said that. He's going to be fine. And again, I said it was tonight. What happens tomorrow is irrelevant. This was tonight I was talking about. Korn says, I have had one of those TLR books forever and haven't read it. Yeah, check it out. I haven't read all of them, but I've read a couple of them. They're good stuff, man. Three Nights in August and then the 2011 one. Two good ones. Aaron says, another hypothetical. Were the Cardinals wrong to not be willing to trade or to anchor a Soto trade with Jordan Walker? I mean, you can say now that they might have been, but have you given up, Aaron, on Jordan Walker? Because I haven't. I still think he can have a great career. So, you know, I just, it's hard to say because right now he's mired in the AAA of it all, and he's not been performing at the big leagues, but he had a good year last year, Jordan Walker did, and he's only 21. The guy is still 21, by the way, as we sit here today. He doesn't turn 22 for a couple weeks. All right, so his story has not yet been written. And for that reason, I'm not going to write him off. Snip says it feels like the Stan Kroenke 2010-ish Rams in St. Louis. No, but like, look, the Patriots were awful last year, and Mac Jones was not the answer at quarterback, and so they got rid of him, and now they're like still searching to find the next thing. That's what I mean for the Cardinals. Like, oh, we didn't really realize it might be this bad. Well, maybe it's okay. We've still got the Cardinal way, but then it's you look up and what if this is another losing season in a row? That ends up being kind of tricky for it, right? So that's all I mean by that. But you're saying Waino is the 2020 Julian Edelman. Maybe I am. Maybe I am saying that. Kenneth, what's going on? Do you consider a DFA of Michaelis? Diamondbacks did the same thing to Mad Bum last year with over a year and a half left on his deal. And Kenneth also points out that the Patriots won multiple championships. Well, so did the Cardinals, just not as recently. Yeah, not as recently. But point well taken. ADL would like to clarify that he does not know how Steven Matz smells, but he's mostly referring to the pitching with the stinky jokes, which is good because I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if you were what kind of commentary you were making with that. I don't think anyone actually expected Yadi to do anything. I saw it as a ceremonial thing and a way to keep him in the organization for possible future involvement. I think they did. They maybe didn't expect a bunch, but I think they thought if he says he's going to show up to spring training, he will, and then he never did. So that is just what it is. Yeah, there's no grand conspiracy about Yadi other than he didn't want to come. Let's put it this way. I don't know that he didn't want to come. He has not made it a priority to show up to this point. And that's just kind of saying it pretty straight for what it is. Sweet residue. Walker is hitting .286 at AAA, but still not much power. Yeah, man. It's hard to understand because he was just such a stud. And then you get to the big leagues and it is difficult. Maybe that's all it is, but he's still trying to find that power. Still trying to get that consistently. Just remember, all the young guys are going to struggle. This is Mariposa speaking. They go from having an automated strike zone where they really, really know the zone to having C.B. Buckner calling strikes two balls out of the zone. It's a great point as well. The strike zones are different in AAA and big leagues, and I think they probably just need to get it. Go ahead and automate the thing everywhere just so players can know what to expect, because how useful is it to be training in the minors for something that you're not actually even going to experience when you get up? How helpful is that? I understand it's like a players union thing probably where they're going to have to, and we know it was like pulling teeth to get the union to be on the same page as the owners and get different things approved the last time they did the CBA. But my goodness, it just doesn't seem to make much sense to me. Brandon, thank you for the super chat, my friend. I wonder what the worst team record for a Cy Young winner was. Yeah, that is kind of a good question. Well, I'm trying to think last year. Sonny, I don't think, had a ton of wins. Now, he didn't win the Cy Young, but I think he was second in the American League in Cy Young. And I think Sonny Gray only had like 8 wins last year with the Twins. I'm going to look this up now. Yeah, he was 8-8 last year with a 2.79 ERA. Now, again, he didn't win, and the Twins weren't a terrible team necessarily. But, yeah, that's a fun question. Because the Cardinals could be a team that loses 85-90 games, and Sonny Gray could have a 1.8 ERA, and yeah, he'd be a candidate for Cy Young, no doubt. I tell you what, though, the Cubs guy, Shota Imanaga, that sucks, man. That one sucks because I really did. I thought in November, I'm like, this is the guy. they're not going to get Yamamoto, but the Cardinals, they like going into the international markets, and this is the guy, Imanaga. What's it going to be, like 4 years, $80 million? All right, that's maybe a bit hefty. Okay, people aren't sure his game's going to translate, but then it didn't end up being anything close to that. He got $453 million. That's the best deal any team signed in the offseason, and the Cardinals should have been on it. But I understand why they weren't. They signed all their guys quick, and they didn't sign a fourth. Now, if you're mad about anything from the offseason from a pitching perspective, I know we're talking about the offense a bunch because they have not done well. But I would say, like, don't be mad about Jordan Montgomery. There's a lot of reasons that Jordan Montgomery didn't come back. Be mad that they didn't stay the course on trying to get Shota Imanaga to come. And if they did and he just didn't want to show up, they should leak that to somebody so that it can be reported and they can not look bad for it. Because that was the guy, man, to me. Chad is also asking about Yachty. Why isn't anyone talking about Yachty? If he was here, I believe that would bring leadership. This team is evidently missing. Thanks and keep up trying on the show. Keep trying. He's like, keep trying on MLB The Show, you suck bag who can't hit. I can't hit. I swing at everything. I'm using the PCI. I'm a work in progress, folks. That's all it is. But to Chad's point about Yachty, look, man, they would like him to have shown. He didn't, and that is what it is. Like, they can't force him, right? I guess they could say, we're not going to pay you. I wonder what the contractual agreement of his advisorship was. But yeah, he hasn't shown up. Could he help? Probably. He can't step into the batter's box for him and hit, but I bet he could help. STL Baseball Beer told me to stream on TikTok eventually. I want to get StreamYard and then run everything, including these YouTube streams, through that. But Baseball Beer, I think I follow you on TikTok, don't I? Send me a message either on there or on Twitter and let me know. Have you been doing some streaming? And because I need to go to TikTok next. Unless the U.S. bans it, which I guess is like TikTok is countersuing or something to try and not have that rule go into effect. U.S. wants them to sell TikTok to still have it on people's phones here. I don't know. But I feel like there's an audience to be had on TikTok. I don't know about if it's a sports audience, but they certainly, you know, you think YouTube's algorithm is one thing. I know that those other apps are doing the same kind of stuff. Let's see here. Getting close to where I'm going to have to wrap it, but making sure I haven't missed any major chats here. Do I think Yachty would come out of retirement for around 8 weeks? Yeah, that'd be funny. He's like, hey, you are under contract, Yachty. You need to get here, but not as an advisor. You have to play. Our catcher got hurt. Oh, man. That'd be wild. I saw a question. Why has the player development fallen off so much? You know, it's just been a series of things that it's maybe kind of hard to put your finger on and quantify at this point, to be honest with you. Because I do still think they have some talented folks in charge, but they have not been able to get the most. Like, it's not even a way to dispute it, right? There's not even a defense of, no, actually, they're getting the most out of, how would you even make that claim, right? Offensive, pitching-wise, who's the last homegrown pitcher they developed that got the second contract and has stayed and has been really good, right? Flaherty fell short of that, you know? Michaelis was not homegrown, and he's struggling now. Yeah. Dakota Hudson didn't work out. It hasn't happened in a while. Carlos Martinez, really, the same kind of thing happened to him at the end. So, it's just been a tough road to hoe when it comes to development, and I don't really see it turning around without, you know, look at all these young prospects that are quality, without some of those guys being the flag plant where you can say, look, we got this one, and then it can sort of build upon itself once again. I also think you could look around the COVID time and the reduction of minor league organizations, and now they've got fewer teams, and like teams like Memphis have been losing. Like, they just haven't been a winning tradition in the Memphis Redbirds in recent years. And I think COVID kind of, and it's not to say like, oh, it's COVID's fault, because other organizations have figured it out since COVID, but the Cardinals maybe have not. Zan Games is asking where I'm reading the chat. He's not seeing the comments that I'm addressing. I'm not going in order the whole time, because I'm actually reading from the bottom up right now, because for a while I was just digging through, and it just jumps so much on me because of how many chats come in. I just am not able to follow like a through line. So I'm reading from the bottom up, actually. If you mentioned Carlos Martinez got busted for, or was it JD? Who got busted for PEDs? I think Carlos did have some kind of thing, didn't he? Anyway, Steve Carlton, this is from Scott, went 27-10 for the Phillies in 72. They lost 97 games. So they were 65-97. Cards traded him for Rick Wise, worst trade in team history by a wide margin. The lefty who won 7 Cy Youngs. Yeah, the Steve Carlton trade was before my time, but I do know enough to know that that was a rough one. A rough one. Retrospect is 2020, isn't it? Why not have sold Arenado? He's younger. Arenado's got stuff on the contract still. Years remaining. If I'm saying things like stuff on the contract, we know I need to wrap this up soon. But that's basically, I think, the answer is the years remaining is kind of an interesting thing. Because if he's playing well, that's a good thing for another team. Because they're like, oh, we get him for multiple years. If he's not playing up to career norms, would other teams look at that as like an albatross around their neck of, well, do we want to pay him next year? You know, whatever. So it's more complicated to get a trade like that done. And the Cardinals didn't trade him because they thought they would be good this year. And they're maybe still hopeful that they will be, but that's why. Like, they were going to go for it. They weren't going to go all in on it, not at the expense of the flexibility of the future, but they did want to go for it this year. And it's just not working out so far. Reese saying that Gorman swings for the fences every time he swings. Yeah, he's still going through it for sure. Still going through it. Let's see here. Gorman, Goldie are important to the offense. Why are they struggling right now? Man, if the Cardinals can answer that, CJ, they would be in a lot better spot because they'd be able to fix it if they could answer it. But a lot of guys going through it at the same time. Maybe you could take a bright side from guys like Burleson and Nupar, maybe starting to come out of it tonight. We saw good swings from them, and Newt taking the walks. Don't ever change. Like I said a couple days ago, do whatever you want with the lineup. I think you definitely need to keep it the way that it is at the top right now with Donovan Nupar. I liked it when they did it, I think, to first start out late in 2022, it seemed like. Maybe it was that long ago, and I still like it. So I hope they keep that up. I think that's a good alignment. Got to figure out some middle-order bats, though, at this point, and you want to move Goldie down, but you now also don't have Contreras. This lineup's going to look a little lean. They're going to need the next tier of players to step up. And I get that Walker maybe hasn't hit for power yet, but do you think about calling him back up? Because you're going to be lean in the lineup without Wilson Contreras. And if Carlson doesn't perform, then you're like, okay, what's the next step there? What's the plan? Yeah, I don't know if you can call Walker back up just yet. And the numbers are, OPS is still pretty low. But we'll see. He will be back sooner than later. But for now, you know, it is what it is. And Soak Turtle says, I haven't given up on Jordan Walker's good year last year and this year. He's just struggling. And that's true. 100% true. All right, guys. Jens, I haven't answered Jens' question. Why does it always feel like the wheels fall off around the fifth inning? Is that in my head or is it an official stat for the Cards? I think it's a combo of they haven't done well against opposing starters, and opposing starters are usually still in the game in the fifth. So, you know, they're not adding on with frequency. And that's where their starters, guys like Michaelis, guys like Lynn, guys like Matz, have tended to wear down. So, yeah, the fifth is kind of a bugaboo, for sure, at this time for the Cardinals. Okay, I know that there are some folks' comments that I missed, and I really do apologize. I had a lot to get to tonight. I do apologize, but I'm going to have to cut it here. It's about midnight, and I've got to get up in like 6 hours, and I'm going to have to post this on Spotify. So, appreciate you guys, as always, for joining. Subscribe before you leave. Hit the like button before you leave. We might even get it to 100 likes if you all hit that button before you get out of here. That is going to do it, though, for this edition of B-Shape Daily Live, as I need a neck massage because I was not using good posture throughout this thing. But we'll continue to talk some Cardinals. Reminder, Thursday I'm going out of town, so it's the channel will look different Thursday through Sunday. But we'll be back and at it with everyday posts again next week. I will still post tomorrow on Wednesday after the Sonny Gray game. I just want everybody to be aware of what's coming Thursday through Sunday. And I'll do a text post, and I'll post on Twitter. I'll make sure it's well known. But I feel like people are going to be so mad at me because it's like, oh, he's been doing so many, you know, videos, and then he's gone. I'm done with him. Don't give up on me. Come back Sunday night or Monday when I do return after the wedding. But that's going to do it for this edition of the show. Thank you guys so much for joining, for the super chats, for the comments, for the likes, for everything. We will talk to you next time on Be Shafe Daily Live. Peace.